We read verse 28, very, very familiar verse. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And in verses 29 and 30, some people have referred to those two verses as the five-link chain that describes the things that take place in our life as we make our way to heaven, as we get to heaven. And I want to just mention those five things very quickly, and then I want to zero in on one of them and say a couple things about them, that one thing this morning. And so we see in verse 28, in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, for whom God did foreknow. God knew before the earth was created, God knew before any single person was born, who would believe on Jesus and who would not believe. He knew who would receive the gospel and who would reject it. He knew who would trust Christ and who would reject him. And so God foreknew who would make that decision to be a Christian and trust Jesus as their Savior. That verse goes on to say, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those that received Christ, those that got saved, those that decided to become a Christian, God has predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now that verse doesn't say God has predestinated who is going to be saved and who is going to not be saved. God knew who would make the decision, but he does not predestinate people, some people to be saved and some people not to be saved. In fact, my Bible says, and I hope yours does too, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every single person to be saved. He wants every single person to trust Christ as their Savior. He wants every single person to know Jesus so that they can have a home in heaven. That's why his invitations in the Bible are so wide open. The door to heaven and the door to salvation is not just cracked a little bit. It is open as wide as it can be. That's why the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that includes everybody. That verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, God wants everybody to be saved, and so his invitation is wide open. Now, that choice is up to us. We get to choose. If we choose to receive Christ, then we get life, eternal life. If we choose to reject him, we are choosing death, because when we reject him, we're still in our sins, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But those that choose him, those that choose salvation, those that choose to receive the gospel are predestinated by God to be conformed to the image of his Son. Then it goes on in verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. I heard the call of God from my parents. I heard it from my grandma. I've told you my testimony before. My grandmother on my dad's side, she had a crooked finger. This finger was crooked like this. And every time I go over to her house, when I got old enough to understand, she would shake her finger in my face and say to me, "You are going to hell unless you get saved. You need to get saved. You're headed for hell." I had a loving grandmother. And when she would shake her finger in my face, I just look at her. I remember spending the night at her house. Terry, one of them came on, I think. So maybe we're getting better, but we need to get them all going. But I can remember spending the night in her house, and I can remember coming, getting up, and she'd be sitting at the kitchen table reading her Bible. And I can remember her lifting me up to God in prayer and praying for me that I would get saved. Until I got saved, every time, not just now and then, but every time, she would remind me that I was a sinner headed for hell. And so I heard the call of God from my parents. I heard it from my grandparents. Some of you might have heard it from your parents. from your grandparents, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a preacher, maybe a friend. Maybe you heard the call of God from a tract that somebody gave you. But the call from God comes to everybody that he's been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And he's not willing that any should perish. And so he wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be conformed to the image of his son. And so he calls to everybody. And the call comes. You're a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. But Jesus paid the penalty. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we come to him, if we come to him, we get forgiveness for our sins. We get right with our God. We get a home in heaven. And I know that most of us here today could sing the song along with me. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I'm glad we got a God that calls. I'm glad we got a God that keeps coming back. He's not just a God that calls one time. He's not just a God that calls twice. He keeps calling and calling and calling and calling. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, listen as he calls. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Laboring, trying to find your way to God, heavy laden with your sin. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will give you rest in Jesus Christ this morning if you will come. And then it goes on to say, "And whom he called, them he also justified." When we heed the call, when we come to Christ, and when we ask him to save us, he not only forgives our sin, but he wipes every single one of them off of our record in heaven. And by the way, he doesn't do it with a pencil eraser. It's like a whiteboard, and you take a wet rag and you go over the whiteboard. There's no marks left. There's no eraser marks. Nobody can come and rub a pencil across it and see the impression of the sins that were written there, because God takes every single one of them away. He wipes our record clean, and in his sight, we are made as if we've never sinned. We've been justified just as if we've never sinned. And not only does he do that, but then he writes on our record the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when God looks at me, an old, dirty, filthy sinner, what, he doesn't see my sin. He sees the perfection and the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 30 ends when it says, "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now, that hadn't happened yet. We won't be glorified until we get to heaven. That's the final step of the plan. When we get to heaven, we'll get a new glorified body, and he will glorify us. And so he knew. He foreknew. He knew. He predestinated. He called. He justified. He will glorified. I thank God this morning that his plan is complete. I thank God that on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." It's a plan that I don't have to add anything to. It's a plan that you don't have to add anything to. Jesus did it all. I mean, God did it all. There's nothing that I have to I don't have to be somebody. I don't have to do something. I don't have to give a certain amount. Everything that needed to be done has been done, and the only thing that I need to do is receive it, is take it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Savior, you need to be grateful and thankful that He knew and He called and He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And one of these days you are going to be glorified. And if you're here today and you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ right now. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you believe that He died on Calvary for you. And ask Him to be your Savior. Now, this morning, in the time I got left, I want to take one of those phrases and I want to talk to you a little bit about it. He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Let me define a couple words. The word predestinate means to foredraw or by divine decree or purpose. To foreordain. In other words, God has foreordained. He has directed by His divine power that you are going to be conformed. Every Christian is going to be conformed to the image of His Son. He has predetermined it. He has appointed it. Again, by His decree, by His purpose. Every saved person, every person that names the name of Christ, every person that has their sins forgiven, every person that is on their way to heaven has been predetermined by God, predestinated by God, decreed by God, predetermined, however you want to say it, that you are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. So, predestinated. Now let me talk about the word conform or conformed. It is to act in accord or harmony with a standard or norm. To be or become similar in form or character. To make similar in form or character. To bring into correspondence or harmony with something else. And that something else is Jesus Christ. God has predetermined, He has predestinated that I am going to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, the word conformed is used only twice in the Bible. It's only twice in the Bible. It's used in Romans 8:29, where it says, God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So, Brett, stand up over there for a second, would you? We're going to let Brett represent Jesus Christ this morning. And every single one of us that has been saved, God has predestinated us to be conformed to that image. Okay, stay standing up just for a second. The second use of the word conformed is in the book of Romans also, chapter 12, verse 2, where the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. Darwin, you stand up over here for me, okay? So we're going to let Darwin represent the world, okay? So again, the only two times in the Bible that the word conformed is used is that God has predestinated me to be conformed to the image of His Son. And then a few chapters later in the same book, it says, don't be conformed to the world. But be ye transformed, that verse says, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may find the perfect will of God for your life. And so, I am not to be conformed to the world. I am not to use the world or anything in the world as my pattern. I am not to bring myself to that and conform myself to that. God is predestinating me, has already predetermined that I will be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, forget Darwin's the world for just a second. Darwin's a Christian and I am a Christian. Okay? We're both Christians. And again, God has already decided, he's predetermined this, predestinated it. This is what's going to happen, that we are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, if I'm right here in my Christian walk, and Darwin's right there in his Christian walk, who is it going to be harder on when God starts conforming us to the image of His Son? Me or Darwin? Darwin. Why? Because he's further away. I mean, he's back. I mean, he's saved. He's on his way to heaven. But I've been saved longer. I've been able to do things in my Christian life longer than Darwin has. And so when God starts conforming us to the image of his son, it's going to be easier on me than it is on Darwin. Okay? Okay, thank you guys. Now, this morning, I have a miniature sermon. I have 3 points. I want to give you 3 things that you can do to make it easier for God to conform you to the image of his son. Okay? Again, let me get you thinking about being conformed. Everybody has probably come in contact with Play-Doh, right? You know what Play-Doh is? Stuff that kids play with, and it's moldable, it's like clay. And in Play-Doh kits, they give you little forms, triangles, squares, and you can stuff the clay in the form, and the clay takes the shape of that form, a square, a triangle, a circle, okay? God will conform us to the image of his son. And so he'll take us as clay and he'll put us in that image, that form. We can make it easy or hard for him to do that. Quickly, let me give you 3 suggestions how you can make it easier for God to conform you to the image of his son. Number one, study Jesus. Study Jesus. The last book in the Bible, it's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. I submit to you that every book in the Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Every book in the Bible tells us something about Jesus. Every book in the Bible tells us how he thinks. Every book in the Bible tells us how he acted. Every book in the Bible tells us how he interacted with people. Every book in the Bible gives us a picture of what his priorities were. The Bible says, and he said about himself, I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father. I didn't come to do what I wanted to do in this world. I came to do what God wanted me to do in this world. And the more we study Jesus, the more we know about him, the more time we spend in the Bible studying his life, studying how he acted, studying how he made his decisions, the easier it's going to be for God to conform us to his image. Let me ask you a question. Andy, do you know where Stuttgart, Arkansas is? No idea. I know where Stuttgart, Arkansas is. I courted in Stuttgart, Arkansas. I proposed to my wife when she lived in Stuttgart, Arkansas. Stuttgart, Arkansas is in southeast Arkansas. It is the duck capital of the world. There's more ducks in Stuttgart than there any place else in the world. It's also the rice capital of the world. They grow a lot of rice down there, and the ducks come into the marshes. It's also the mosquito capital of the world. Stuttgart, Arkansas. So, me and Andy, after church, we go out and get in our cars. We head south. We're going to Stuttgart, Arkansas. Who do you think's going to get there? He doesn't have GPS, by the way. I'm going to get there because I know where it is. I've studied it. I've driven there probably 25 different times from 15 different places. I know how to get there. I can tell you the roads how to get there because I've studied it. Andy hadn't, because he had no occasion to go there. I'm going to get there. In the same way, the more you study about Jesus Christ, the more you know about him, the easier it's going to be for God to conform you to his image. Number two, spend time with him. Spend time with Christ. Spend time in the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in church. Spend time with other people that are more like Jesus than you are. Listen, we are influenced by the people we spend time with. I heard somebody say one time, you are right now or soon shall be exactly like the people you run with. And that's true. You're going to be like the people that you associate with, that you spend time with. And if we want to make it easier for God to conform us to the image of his son, what we need to do is find people in our life that are more like Christ in one area than we are and spend time with them because they're going to rub off on us. They by their example are going to show us Jesus. I mean, we can see Jesus in them. So spend time with people that are more like Jesus than you are. And then number three, real quickly, stay moldable. Stay formable. Don't get hard. You know, sometimes if you've had any experience with Play-Doh and you leave it out of its can, it gets hard. It's hard. I mean, you can try to push it into that mold, and it, regardless of how you push, it just breaks apart because it's gotten hard. It's gotten hard. And if we want to, now, I'll tell you what, as Christians, if we get hard, He's still going to conform us to the image of His Son. I mean, that's what He's doing to get us more ready for heaven. I mean, he brings experiences into our life to make us more like Christ, to conform us to the image of His Son. And if we get hard, don't think you're going to get off because you've gotten hard. He's still going to do it. It's just going to be harder on you. He's going to have to use more pressure. He's going to have to use more circumstance. So why make it hard? Stay moldable. Stay soft-hearted. Stay in that position where it's easy for God to press you into that mold, to make you conformable to His Son. Don't get the attitude in your Christian life. And again, I was reminded when I heard Bill and Ruth Ann's grandson's sermon last night. Don't get to the point in your Christian life, and I talked to the kids this morning about it in Sunday school. Don't get to that point in your Christian life where you think you know more than God. Because you don't. And I don't. Sometimes when God puts us in a circumstance, and I'm going to talk about this tonight when I talk about the thorn in Paul's life, we want Him to take away that circumstance. We want Him to take away that thorn. We don't want to bear what He's put into our life. And when we go to God and ask Him to take it away, and He says no, sometimes we say, okay, I'll fix it myself. And we do things to try to counter the will of God in our life. And the only thing that causes Him to do is He has to push a little bit harder. Because we're going to go into the mold. I mean, He's already predestinated it. He's already predetermined. He wants to make us more like Christ. And He'll use whatever circumstance in our life that He needs to get us into that mold so that, and you know how Play-Doh does when you push it in the mold? All the pieces that don't fit into the mold, they sort of fall off. There's some things in our life that God has to get rid of to make us more like Christ. And He pushes us into that mold and the pieces sort of fall off. Okay? And so keep yourself moldable. Keep yourself soft. Keep yourself so that God can put you into that mold easily. That's our choice. We can make it hard, but it won't dissuade God because He's already predetermined He's going to do it. And He'll use whatever He needs to use to make it happen. Again, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God's not trying to put you in that mold yet. He's calling you to come to the one that can save you from the penalty of your sin. He's calling you to come to the one that'll give you that home in heaven. He's calling you to the one that Darwin and Lydia sang about a moment ago. You know what? If there wasn't a heaven, now there is a heaven. So listen. Don't fall asleep right now. There is a heaven. But if there wasn't a heaven, I'd want to be a Christian for what Jesus does for me in this life, even if there was a heaven. I don't want to bear my burdens alone. I don't know how people that don't know Jesus Christ can bear the burdens that this world has to offer. But there is a heaven, and we're going to live there eternally, and you won't get there on your own. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to come to Him. You need to come to Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for salvation. Most of us here this morning know what it is to be called a child of God. We know what it is to have a home in heaven because we've asked Jesus to save us. And so I pray for those that might be here that don't know Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've spoken to them and you've let them, help them see their sin. You've helped them understand that there's a penalty for that sin. And Father, and Holy Spirit, please help them understand right now that Jesus is the only hope that they have for forgiveness of sin. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help them call upon Jesus right now and ask him to save them. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Thank you that you're conforming us to the image of your Son. I pray that we keep ourselves soft. I pray that we study Christ, that we spend time with him, and we make it easier for you to accomplish that. Just bless this time of invitation. If Christians are here and the Holy Spirit's pointed out something in their life that shouldn't be there, or something that should be there that's not, I pray that they take this opportunity to come and get it straight with you. Bless the invitation, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.